Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shackton Blog Talk Radio Show on every night, either at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, or 10 or 11, and weekends, which is often at 11. But this show is on the button for what you want to know in terms of truth and facts. Let me just indicate to you the subject of the show. As you know, I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the Christian faith entirely, whether in the creeds of the church or in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And most of all, I adhere to the Christian faith, but I welcome all faiths and all peoples and all races and all nations. And the faith is the faith, whether the face of Jesus can be found in Buddhism, can be found in Islam, can be found in all nations and races, and it can be found everywhere that human beings are, is the faith and love of Jesus. So, second of all, this show is a Christian show, and it has a literary component. I'm a great fan of great literature, whether Russian, French, German, American, or English. I'm a great fan of literature. I love great literature such as John Milton's Paradise Lost, Dante's Inferno, and John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, to give some examples. And, of course, E.M. Forster is one of my favorites in his great book, A Passage to India. So this is a literary show. It's a Christian show. Most of all, it has a political component. I'm conservative, but I follow the advice and directions of Christ. I have great concern for the poor and poverty, because Jesus' followers were poor and poverty-stricken people, and many of the people he chose as disciples were poor working men, such as fishermen or tax collectors. So I follow Christ in his concern for poor and poverty. I part ways with my conservative friends if they differ from that position. It is the position I must take as a Christian. I have no alternative. I have no choice. Perhaps for Jesus, the poor and poverty are more to be valued than the wealthy and educated. It's a possibility. Anyway, let me say that, give you an indication of my background that I bring to this show. This is a politically incorrect show. We're not concerned with political correctness or political rhetoric or media lies or media falsehoods or anything like that. We're concerned with truth and facts and critical thinking leading to truth and facts. That is our concerns in this show. We are concerned with intellectual honesty and honest discernment and getting at the truth and facts, whatever they may be, wherever they may lead. We're not interested in political propaganda. It's a waste of time. It's an insult to your intelligence, and you're made fools of if you even listen to it or give thought to it. It's a waste of time. Second of all, as I say, I have a Christian emphasis on this show, and I adhere to the Holy Bible, the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. And I in fact, adhere to Holy Scripture entirely as the Word of God and the ultimate guide to truth. I also am concerned with the creeds of the Church, the Athanasian, Apostles, and Nicene Creed, which state the faith for many thousands of years, which have stated the faith for many thousands of years, and I adhere to those creeds as my beliefs 100%. Third, I have a political component. I'm a conservative, and I veered to be conservative, but as a Christian, I'm very greatly concerned for the poor and poverty, underclass, and identify them greatly, and I follow Jesus in that respect. And if my conservative friends differ from me in that respect, well, I have to walk away from them on this issue. Second of all, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, The Presence Show. Both of these shows have a Christian component, but I welcome all faiths, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, all faiths are welcome in this show. The radio shows have many visitors, The podcast show has over 4,400 visitors, and many of my dear Muslim friends, in fact, visit the Blog Talk radio show from Saudi Arabia and Iran. I have a very good friend in Iran, a philosophy student, very bright, and she is interested in my Christian books, which I've written. Next, I run these two radio shows, and they have a Christian emphasis, but I welcome all faiths, because I see the face of Jesus in all faiths and all people. He died for all men and women, irrespective of their country, race, ethnicity, or their particular faith. He loves them all greatly and dearly. Without doubt, he does. He died for them. He cast down his life for all humanity, whether Hindu, Buddhist, or Islam. He values all men and women and all faiths and excludes no one. Next, I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. The Christian legal books are Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2. The Christian books are Essays on the Christian Worldview, Essays on the Christian, and then that sold very well, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, which is also sold well. I've written a book on the parables, interpreting the 41 parables. I recommend the parables. They are the mind and thoughts of Christ the Creator. They are the words of Jesus, and they come from the mind of God, and they are well worth reading again and again. They are advice of Christ. They are warnings. He is to be heeded in what he says, since it comes from the mind of God. Next, I've written a book on the Psalms, or my interpretation of all 150 Psalms. It's a recent book, and I have this book. The Psalms to me are the epitome of thinking, of spiritual thinking, of spirituality. They are Jewish lyric poetry. They are great poetry. I read the Psalms in Hebrew in seminary. I have an MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I've read the Psalms. In Hebrew, at least some of them, in seminary, and I memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm. I was a young person, 12 years old, in Sunday school, which my parents sent me to get a Christian education. So I also have written other books. I'm preparing a book on my blogs, all 900 blogs. There'll be 4 books of my blogs, literary, theological, and political. 4 books of those blogs. I have written 900 blogs, and also I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible, which is partially written. I'm writing a book interpreting the book of Job in the Bible. Job is a wonderful book. We can learn from the book of Job immensely. It's very moving, telling the trials of a Edomite, a non-Jewish person, and how he suffered greatly at the hands and being tested by God, which we all may be tested by God someday in a final judgment or before. I also have written a book, partially written a book, another law book on the criminal law hearings, and I've partially written that book. It's not completed. It'll take some time to complete it. And I've written a book called Res Gestae, a chapter on evidence in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. And I've written a family law book on New York family law and practice, published by West. I've written the paternity chapter. Again, I repeat, I've written the chapter on paternity. I've written three very long law review articles, 2 on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, on education and sex orientation discrimination. They have been bought by the State Department and many other universities throughout the world, Africa, Asia, North America, South America, etc. I've also finally written a book, a very long journal on the Syracuse Law Review and criminal procedure, and that has been bought by the United States Supreme Court and by the State Department, and it has been bought by many federal agencies and universities throughout the world. So what am I going to talk about tonight, ladies and gentlemen? It'll be a theological topic because I'm very concerned with theology because I'm concerned with Jesus and people knowing Jesus and being loved by him and getting into heaven. As it says in Timothy, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, said in Timothy, the book of Timothy, that God wills all men and women to be saved. He wants no one hurt, no one taken out of heaven. He wants everyone saved, everyone. And it is a great statement of the faith. Tonight I'm going to talk about something, a sensitive topic, a topic that many people don't want to touch or understand. It's a matter of works and faith. Some people say that all you have to do is go to church and have faith and believe. And that's all you need to do. That's one perspective. Certainly you have to have, certainly faith is a great component of Christian thinking. But if there's no works, if there's no love, there's no charity, there's no works, where is the faith? We all have to ask that question of ourselves. We may claim to have faith, but we may not be doing much of anything for our neighbor beyond showing up at work and having supper at home. It's possible that is all we do. Is that enough? God requires works of us, not to say that works are sufficient, but there can't be faith without works. If you say you have faith and have no works, what's the point? The faith may be so many words, maybe so many beliefs, maybe so many things we say, but saying and believing is not very significant. The faith must be evidenced and connected with the charity and love that we live our lives with. It is essential. Works are essential evidence of faith. Without works, I do not think, I say this once, there is no faith. That we say we believe something and show up at church, or not show up at church, and maintain this belief position, doing nothing for nobody or for our neighbors or for our family, other than showing up at work, coming home and having dinner, if that's all you attain to in your life, you are not a Christian, because you have no works. Works are an essential evidence of faith. Without works, we can only conclude that there is no faith. That would be my view, and we could say we have faith, we can say we're wonderful people, we can say we are great people and believe Jesus to be God, but if there's no love, no love of our neighbor, no love of anyone, no charity, no love, then there's no works, and without works, what's the point of faith? Where is the faith? I have to say this, there cannot be faith without the works of evidence. The works of charity that we are compelled to exhibit as commanded by Christ, to love our neighbor. Jesus says to love our neighbor as ourselves. He says it's the kind of works he recommends. He says that if you're angry, you're murdering. He says if you lust after a woman, you're committing adultery. He says you have to love your enemy. He extends the works requirements immeasurably to loving your enemy, loving your neighbor, and even looking at a woman with lust as adultery. And he says that if you are angry, you are committing murder. He is saying the works that he requires are so extensive that without these works, there is no faith. He really says he requires these works. Whether we can attain to that level of ethics, I don't know. I probably can't love my enemy. Probably not. I probably look at people with lust. I don't know whether it's adultery, but I do it. And his requirements are quite broad and extensive. And this is all about, his requirements are all about works. And works, he said, he's really saying that works are necessary. They are the basis for knowing and believing and having faith. Faith is important. Going to church and saying we believe in Jesus to be God, saying all these things is quite essential. But without works, they really don't mean anything. So, yes, we have to have works. And if we have no works in our lives, unfortunately, our faith is quite empty. That's my opinion. I've given it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed this broadcast and the thoughts that I've exhibited in it. And I hope you'll think about what I said and show a life of love and works righteousness so that you can show that you really are a believing Christian. Without works, you are, unfortunately, my conclusion is, you have no faith. Because the faith, as saying a few words, doesn't really mean anything. Those words must be connected with love and charity, as Jesus requires in the Gospels. Good night. I hope you've enjoyed this talk.